You have one unheard message.
Hi, I was calling Current, the influencer marketing platform, but I think I just got redirected to a bunch of people listening to a podcast. Well, anyways, I was calling Current because I was told they could help get my brand set up on TikTok Shop and even build out an affiliate program of content creators promoting my brand and even have those content creators go on live streams and promote my product there. Wow, I could really use Current. I also heard that the brands they work with are making millions in sales. I guess I'll just go to their website at current.tech.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
TheChairShot.com. Always use your head.
Howdy, everybody. Howdy, howdy, howdy. It is Tanner, a.k.a. the Tech Gentleman, and we welcome you to yet another edition of A Change in Attitude, where we take a look back on Monday Night Raws from the Attitude Era, and we decide if they hold up or if, in fact, if we have all had a change in attitude. Yes. This week's episode is October the 14th, 1996. And I am joined, as always, by my partners in crime here. First and foremost, the podfather himself, Mags. Mags, how are you doing today?
Kablam. How are you, sir? Kablam.
Yes, I'm doing well. How are you? You're doing well?
I'm doing very, very well.
Good. I'm happy to hear that. Oh, goodness. And alongside us today, as always, is a... Ori the Draw. Ori, how are you?
I'm being invaded by my husband at the moment.
Ah.
We're trying to do things. Important business here. Yeah. Oh, whatever. What? I did tell you we were recording. This is why we can't have nice things.
For context, I'm not editing any of this out.
No, he's not going to edit any of this out. Mm. So thank you, Soulbrick. Mm. I'm fine.
I'm glad to hear that. again, we are watching the October 7th edition. I think I may have said October 14th.
It's actually the 6th. I have it as the 6th.
I have it as the 7th.
I thought it was the 6th, but I've also got it as the 7th.
Six and a half.
Yeah.
I don't know.
It's arguing semantics. It was a poor episode.
Yes.
Either way, it's season 4, episode 39 on the Peacock app.
Well, yes. There you go. That's an appropriate way to do that if you're watching it on Peacock. If you're international, of course, like Mags here is, it would be on the WWE Network. I would imagine as October
for now.
Dun.
Perhaps. October the 7th of 1996. Your current champions here are Shawn Michaels as the world champion. Intercontinental champion is Mark Mero. And the world tag team champions are Owen Hart and Davey Boy Smith. We got a nice little recap package of, I think it may have been, of last week's incidents. You know, as we head closer into In Your House Buried Alive.
And not Mind Games, as Tanner thought we were watching earlier in the week.
Yeah, I don't know. It is what it is. the big issues here that we face is this ongoing feud between Sean and Vader, and now we have introduced Goldust and Psycho Sid into the element as well. And it seems as though we are headed into a direction where somebody is going to face Shawn Michaels very, very soon at the pay-per-view. So it's all very good stuff.
Is it friend or is it foe? Let's find out.
Indeed. And we are also teased with an interview with the real Double J, Jesse James.
Mm-hmm.
A little bit of a journalism here going on this episode of Monday Night Raw, it seems. Our hosts here this week are Kevin Kelly and Jerry the King Lawler. Jim Ross, nowhere to be found, says Kevin Kelly, but he thinks he might be backstage, maybe on the phone, doing some
deals.
Taking
a phone call.
we're quickly taken to the first match, though, where it turns out JR was with Diesel number 2 all along.
The real Diesel.
Yeah.
Now, last week we did get a chance to see this Diesel 2, Glenn Jacobs. And yet, he doesn't look like Kevin Nash.
No.
Man. No.
He looks more like Isaac Yankem.
Mm-hmm. I would say that's or, accurate.
Or Kane wearing a wig, perhaps.
Or Kane wearing a wig. That's definitely of note here. Ori, what do you make here of Diesel and Diesel 2, rather, and his debut here against Mark Mero, a non-title match here against the Intercontinental Champion?
I thought Mark Mero looked great. I couldn't stand any of the rest of it. I really couldn't. I couldn't get into the match. I couldn't enjoy it. The crowd sounded just as dead as I felt.
Oh, they hated it. They absolutely hated this.
As did I. I was like, can I just scroll TikTok and fast forward through this? Because I am not... Like, the only good part about that match was Mark Mero, really and truly. And it... I don't know if we want to go all the way to the end of the match yet, but... I mean, are we good to skip ahead to the end?
Well,
can we talk about that?
I will note that about halfway through the match, we do get Razor Ramon part deux on split screen. JR is on commentary with Kevin Kelly and Jerry the King Lawler at this point. The match is odd to be... to be perfectly honest with you, basically what happens is Razor Ramon 2 makes his way to the ring, and it just descends into a 2-on-1 attack for a DQ finish here. The new Razor and Diesel seem to be very much trying to run things, as perhaps outsiders in this WWF.
But insiders, according to JR, certainly not a dig at the WCW. I actually have to totally agree with Ori. I think Mark Mero was the best thing about this. And it's sad that we've watched a full tournament where Mark Mero has really shone and really looked like a credible Intercontinental Champion for him to be fed into this absolute dog shit of a storyline. It's not good. Not good at all. I feel bad for the guy.
I feel bad for everybody involved. Honestly. Like, even JR, as much as he's trying to put it over, and, they talk about JR being investigated, and JR says something about Vince has 15 rear kissing VPs in the back, handling things for us. So we get shades of the future Vince McMahon Kiss My Ass Club, That's what I picked up out of that. But the whole thing was just dog crap. And that's the thing. Like, I get that they want to capitalize on Kevin Nash and Scott Hall without actually having Kevin Nash and Scott Hall and taking that intellectual property of those characters and using them. But to me, it would have made more sense to try and embarrass the names of Razor and Diesel. So why not just squash them? You know, why not put them in matches and make them look like, I mean, don't get me wrong, the match was utter dog shit, but have them lose, have them be completely squashed. I don't get it. I don't like it. It slightly stresses me out. Razor talking backstage sounds like he's having the worst stroke of his life. Like, Jim Ross with Bell's palsy speaks clearer than this guy as Razor. Well, I'm sorry.
I think I'm going to come to the ring and get a closer look. Hey, yo.
Like, I'm just, oh my God.
I'm glad you added the hey yo part so we understood you were making fun of Razor and not JR.
No, I would never make fun of JR. I would never make fun of JR. Holy crap.
To add to Ori's point, I think this actually does embarrass Razor and Diesel because I felt embarrassed for both guys. We obviously know that, Glenn Jacobs goes on to be a huge star, but you very rarely see anything of poor Rick Bogner after this. These were lead weights around these two guys next. And I actually feel the more sorry for Jim Ross because he's not a heel. He cannot pull off a heel. He's the perennial good guy commentator, and it just doesn't work. I'm glad it's not a storyline that's going to drag on.
Well, and he actually gets upset at the end with all the DQ and everything because he's saying that this is not anything that he would wish. You know, he's upset about the attacks on Mark Mero after the bell. So you know, it seems as though maybe he's feeling like he's bitten off a little bit more than he can chew here in story. So, yeah, interesting way to start the show here with a fake Diesel and fake Razor doing the 2-on-1 attack to Mark Mero. We're taken then to parts unknown, where Undertaker is digging a grave.
And has been digging it for a week, mind you. It's taken him a week to get the grave almost down to 6 feet.
I mean, being in the funeral parlor business is often quite busy, and sometimes, you know, you just only have so many hours in the day to take care of things. So he's working on this whole here, a bit of a passion project for him, for Mankind. And he says that he does not intend for Mankind to have a nice day or to rest in peace.
Yes. It's a short, interesting promo. I like the kind of like background sound effect, the extra reverberation they put in Taker's voice. This is getting me mildly interested in the match. I think Mankind's promos in the similar setting are more interesting for me. I really like Mankind's mindset and even playing off of Paul Bearer, which we'll get to later on in the show. I thought that was much better, but it does what it needs to do. It gets you invested in the first ever unsanctioned buried alive match in the WWF. I can't remember the match verbatim, but I'm sure it doesn't happen in this graveyard. So I think Undertaker might be wasting a lot of his time digging this grave.
It's a bit overzealous.
Perhaps. Well, I mean, first of all, it's the first unsanctioned match in WWF ever, according to what they said. And if you remember from a week or two ago, that they said the graveyard will be built in the Indianapolis Center or wherever it is that they're having it. So obviously it's not going to be in that graveyard.
Yes.
So it's like, I get it. There's only so much you can do, but like, let's try and keep a little continuity within the kayfabe. Mm-hmm. Just a little, maybe. I don't know. I'm ever since I started noticing like continuity in TV and movies, like for some reason, it's become a pet peeve with me and it bothers me. Like, wait a minute, that wouldn't work there because of this. And no, continuity.
And you're a wrestling fan?
I know, right? Oy, oy, oy. Mm-hmm. Imagine that.
Oh, we are taken out of the graveyard and into back to the arena where Psycho Sid, he warns Goldust that he is, in fact, the ruler of the world, referring to the main event tonight, which is Psycho Sid facing Goldust. Seems like an interesting main event, to say the least.
Yeah, and Sarko Sid can never be known for having great promo skills. His mat work is not the best, but the dude was over. The dude was absolutely over, and he loved playing into that the man who rules the world gimmick, and it works. I love this Sarko Sid. I think it's one of the best things on late 1996 Raw for me.
And that's the thing, like Sid was so over that I feel like he could have somehow read an excerpt from the encyclopedia and somehow made it work. Because A, he's psycho. And B, you know, it
can
just,
he read?
He was that over. You know what I mean? Like yeah, it just it would have right. I mean, I'm not suggesting anybody do that, but you know, it just would have worked.
Yeah. I mean perhaps so. You know, I think that would be interesting to have Psycho Sid read from a encyclopedia and see what happens. we then cut away from backstage and instead get a vignette of Mr. Perfect, who is set to return at In Your House or is it on the Raw after In Your House? I can't.
I think it's the night after. Yeah, the night after.
Okay. Well, Mr. Perfect's coming back. Any excitement here for Mr. Perfect? It seems like he'll be taking on the man who would later become the Game.
I mean, the promo was cool. It was kind of like a rehash of his original entrance vignettes, where he was the ultimate sportsman, and then mixed in with him stealing female after female after female from Triple H. Yeah, I mean, Mr. Perfect's great. Does he ever have bad matches? So I'm excited to see Perfect back.
I don't know how I feel about it. Like, I think I'm excited for the payoff because this is something that has been...
Whoa, temper those excitements then, Mom.
Sorry? No, but I mean, this storyline has been teased back and forth so much, and we've gotten snippets of it here and there, but we haven't gotten a whole lot up until last week. Now, okay, maybe the payoff isn't the right word that I'm looking for. Maybe what I'm looking for is the inevitable matchup and maybe some potential explanation as to why Mr. Perfect is doing that. Is he just baiting Triple H to get a match? Like, what's going on here? Like, I need some more exposition. So,
I think you'll find out in 2 weeks.
Exactly, and that's what I'm saying. I'm ready for some type of explanation. I'm ready for some type of, you know, why is he continuously doing this? And I will say that, with everything that we've seen over the course of the weeks, the same kind of matchups, the same kind of five or six people in the same thrown around matches, it's kind of refreshing to have something different, you know, have something that's been sprinkled in here and there to make me wonder what's really going on. And so I'm not super invested, but I'm super curious, if that makes sense.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, that does make sense. I mean, I could see both sides, and that I'm interested in seeing Mr. Perfect return and to see what kind of impact he can have on this roster. But at the same time, I definitely get Ori's point in that we've been teased this so much for so long, it's just like, okay, well, you know, you're either going to disappoint me in the end by what happens, or it's just, I mean, you know, I don't expect to be overly astonished by anything that happens after the fact. You know, does that make sense?
Yeah, I'm kind of on the same thing. Like, however it turns out, I don't think I'll be hugely surprised. I don't think it's some huge deal, but what the frack's going on?
I mean, we'll see. We'll see. I mean, I'm perfectly open-minded to be surprised by this. I have my reservations based on how long it's taken to get this thing off the ground. speaking of getting off the ground here, we have our next match, a tag team match here. The Smoking Guns taking on the New Rockers, where the Smoking Guns seem to be at rock bottom here without Sonny. Billy Gunn in the second screen seems very concerned about Sonny and less so about this match. He desperately needs to have Sonny back as their manager. It's a bit odd. It's a bit he's a bit clingy, if you will, needing to have Sonny back by his side to win matches. I don't know.
But at the same time, we get Sonny on the phone during the match.
Yes.
And she's talking about how, oh, I love when men beg me, which I think is absolutely pathetic to some degree. But she likes the attention. She wants the attention. She's telling you, oh, you don't have to wait till Livewire. You can email or fax anytime during the week so I can answer your questions.
And I have actually got a point about those. So the fax number was on, because I watch with the subtitles on in case we get an Ahmed Johnson promo and I can actually work out what he's saying. But the fax number on the WWE subtitles changed the F in, like, I think it was like 1-800-WWF-1 or something like that. They changed the F to an E for no reason, because nobody's going to fax that anymore. I mean, faxes are away with the dinosaurs. And then with the email address, they couldn't afford the extra E in Livewire. I mean, WWF LRV wire. Why not just put the E there? I don't. It made absolutely.
You're trying to be cool and edgy, Mags.
It's the 90s where we live wire things on purpose.
Where anytime there are boys, it has to be boys with a Z. That's what's happening here. We're trying to be cool and edgy.
But I think that phone call was probably the most interesting thing about this match. Nothing of note happened in the match apart from the Guns getting the win. I think for me the most interest that was peaked for my point of view was when Sonny was told Ahmed Johnson was going to be on Livewire, and she got really angry, saying that, oh, I need extra security because if he attacks me, I cannot be held accountable for my actions because Big Bad Sonny will whoop that ass. And she's saying that Ahmed Johnson wants her as a manager. And it plays into exactly what Ori said, that she's loves the attention and lacks all these men fawning over her, and she gets angry when they aren't doing that.
Yeah, we also have the revelation that King sends her flowers regularly.
She sold him out. She sold him. And then he says, Sonny, I love you.
Oh, goodness.
Yeah, yes, the match itself was way too long. And I was so not interested in it. The only kind of somewhat interesting piece of business was at the end when Leaf Cassidy comes in and goes over the top rope. He's trying to make a comeback. The Guns completely decimate him. And then at the end, Bart seems happy about the win, but Billy doesn't. He's not quite. It doesn't mean as much without Sonny or something. I don't know. I'm making up my own storyline at this point. But it was too long. It was uninteresting. There could have been, I don't know.
Yeah. I mean, Billy seems to have...
Yeah, hello. Give me some more Savio Vega. I'll take more Savio Vega.
Billy does seem to have the cowboy heartbreak over Sonny.
He certainly does.
Yeah. It's interesting to say the least, but yeah, I mean the Guns picked up the win, and you know that's
the end of that.
Yeah, that's what happened. No, really, truly, nobody in the crowd seemed to care at all, and perhaps it said could be same for you at home watching this after the fact. So with that said, we move on here. Actually someone who would turn out to be Billy Gunn's future tag team partner. The reveal of the one they call the Road Dog, Jesse James. He's the one who is the singer, the one who is the voice behind With My Baby Tonight, sung by what we thought was Jeff Jarrett. But no, it is this man, Jesse James, who was his roadie. That's who he was. He was the roadie. He was the one who would pack up the equipment and to usher Jeff back and forth through all the airports and to pick up his bags and to chauffeur him around. It was Road Dogg all this time who sang the songs.
And he basically says that Jeff is talentless, that he can't sing, he can't dance, he's not entertaining.
He's not a good entertainer.
Yikes.
I mean, the cool thing on this was that we saw Jim Johnston, the actual star behind all of the music in WWE at the time. He's the real Double J for me.
I mean, he created classics, Stone Cold's theme. I mean, every bit of music that you hear on you know, through the Attitude Era, it's actually Jim Johnston.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, there were a couple of, I think there were a couple of songs for some wrestlers that were taken from actual bands and stuff like that. But Jim Johnston, I have no doubt, mixed them and made them sound as good as they are. But most of the original stuff that wasn't a song beforehand or a song taken from a band, that's Jim Johnston, you know. Yeah,
I would say
the entrance music, you know, for the show, the title card for the show and all that. All the wrestlers, Jim Johnston is the man. No two ways about it.
Yeah, he's probably responsible for about 90% of WWE's music that they've produced. Yeah. Anything that's not been, as you said, I mean, you start to see more bands, I guess, like popular music bands make music for wrestlers towards the 2000s. But like anything up to that point, Jim Johnston's making all the music when it's not an orchestral piece, it seems. Mm-hmm. And even then he might've had a bit of a hand.
Because he was actually let go from the company because he wanted rights to the music that he created. And rather than give him the rights, it was easier to let him go.
Yep. Yep. So very, very sad. Just in the same way that, that they let go of Jeff Jarrett here, maybe in a way, and that they've now ID'd the Road Dogg, Jesse James, as
the real Double J,
and this was a storyline that happened what 18 months ago, nearly in the timeline of wrestling, and I think both guys had left the company for well over a year, so it's interesting that they're now revisiting this storyline from so long ago.
Is Jeff on WCW at this point?
He was on WCW. He's actually now back with the company, and that's why the storyline's being brought back up.
Mm-hmm. I see. Okay.
Yeah, so they're going to build to some kind of, I guess, feud here, it seems, once we get the reveal of Jeff Jarrett. So, yeah.
That would make sense, because, I mean, my thought process was I thought maybe Jeff was on WCW at the time, and we know they're already, mm-hmm. you know, doing the stuff with the Outsiders, Insiders, all that kind of mm-hmm. stuff with Diesel mm-hmm. and Razor. So, you know, trying to garner some of that attention back their way away from WCW, you know, because normally I think we all know at this point that once you've been future endeavored, you're never spoken of again. It's like you were basically, you know, you're not mentioned on commentary. If you're in the opening promo package, that is gone, mm-hmm. you know, or even like the opening package to everything then, now, and forever, showing clips of wrestlers. Like, I know once Jericho signed with AEW, he was no longer in that opening package whatsoever.
Yeah, and Rick Flair been removed after the playing around on the hell stuff.
I think a lot of that depends on what was that last note that you had with the company before you left. I mean,
have you burned bridges?
Have you burned these bridges? I mean, in a way Jericho has, and in some ways he didn't. But I think it's very obvious that he's firmly in the camp of AEW at this point. I don't see him making any kind of comeback to WWE after knowing, for lack of a better term, maybe the freedom that he's been able to express himself with in AEW and to be able to take up the projects that he's been able to do without him, you know, without him being tied to WWE.
I mean, really, the only thing that WWE has allowed has been that one Steve Austin Broken Skull Sessions. Mm-hmm. And that's really it. And yeah. I was honestly surprised that they were okay with that, because I mean, that's on Peacock. It can be watched on Peacock. And so, which means I'm sure it's available overseas on the WWE network, and AEW is mentioned. I mean, they're giving free advertising, quote unquote, to the quote unquote competition, not competition. I don't know. So we won't get into that on this podcast, but it's, you know, I just, that's why I was asking though about Jeff Jarrett, because I wasn't sure which camp he was in at the time.
I think there's been different stories about Jeff Jarrett, about him, over the years, different things that have gone down that raised the ire of Vince, whether it's been, holding him up for money or, a number of things. But it does seem as though this is one of those key areas where, now that they're mentioning him on TV, it does seem as though it's inevitable that we will see Jeff Jarrett back here very, very soon.
There's definitely a love-hate relationship with Vince and Jeff.
More importantly, I want to ask, I guess, in terms of Road Dogg here, these are like the real initial impressions of Road Dogg without Jeff Jarrett by his side. What do we make of the Road Dogg here, kind of as a character, coming to life, if you will?
Okay, for me, I wasn't there for, the whole Jeff Jarrett, be my baby. As we've talked ad nauseum, this is my initial watch through of where we started.
Right.
So I'm not in it, but I'm not really not in it. It's kind of a wait and see type situation. Mm. Okay. So that's kind of where I am.
Yeah, I mean, I've got the point of view where I know how this turns out. I know the history that Road Dogg has with the company. It's not the best of starts, but it certainly does lead on to a really good character, especially when he starts teaming up with Billy Gunn, and then we get the New Age Outlaw. So, yeah, I'm interested to see where this goes, but he's always been a really good, solid wrestler. Nothing really outstanding about him. And I suppose this was just a foot in the door for the company.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it definitely seems that way for sure. We are then taken to our next segment here, which is where JR is in the ring. And he's talking about the uncrowned WWF champion, it seems.
You skipped a whole thing, Tanner. You missed the whole thing with Goldust and Marlena. And their response to Psycho Sid.
And the live wire
advert. Okay. I'll go back.
Someone in the background.
I'll go back. Okay. We'll go back. So, Goldust is backstage. He is not worried about Psycho Sid, it seems. Mm-hmm. There you go.
Mother is displeased.
Yeah, he's very, he does a very creepy kind of promo.
You may be the ruler of the world, but
yeah,
wait till I rule you.
Yeah, he's going to be the ruler of Psycho Sid. So it's, it is the response that we all knew we would get from Goldust here, leading up to the main event. And then, as noted by Mags and Ori, we have a live wire ad. Yet another ad about live wire. There's a question from a fan that was sent in about if Bret Hart is returning and when we could expect Bret Hart. Vince is there answering questions, kind of,
The best one for me was when Vince is answering a question that isn't specifically said, but he's saying about Ted Turner. He was shitting on WCW that question. You're guaranteed. The fun part of this was we got a little bit of somebody in the background, not really mentioned, but he would certainly shape the Attitude Era over the next couple of years. We saw one Vince Russo, bro.
Yeah, Vince Russo's in the background here, which is very interesting. it's You know, he doesn't look like the Vince Russo that we would see in WCW. He's not like wearing a baseball outfit. He's not. He's actually just wearing a sports coat and he's wearing a pair of glasses. He looks pretty professional there. We really don't know.
Probably why I didn't recognize him at all.
Mm-hmm. It's the most professional he's probably ever looked.
He looks like he worked for like a computer company or something like that.
He was there providing IT support.
Exactly. He's like, oh, that's a computer, Vince. Vince, understood. So we do get that.
You have one unheard message.
Hi, I was calling Current, the influencer marketing platform, but I think I just got redirected to a bunch of people listening to a podcast. Well, anyways, I was calling Current because I was told they could help get my brand set up on TikTok Shop and even build out an affiliate program of content creators promoting my brand and even have those content creators go on live streams and promote my product there. Wow, I could really use Current. I also heard that the brands they work with are making millions in sales. I guess I'll just go to their website at current.tech.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Promotional consideration paid for by the following.
Hey folks, PC Tony here. Thanks to our new partnership with Angry Lemonade, you can save 10% on physical products and digital commissions using the promo code CHAIRSHOT. Head to angrylemonade.net to check out their amazing catalog of products and services. Use the promo code CHAIRSHOT to save 10%. That's angrylemonade.net.
Are you looking for the newest and hottest in the world of pro wrestling? Then check out the amazing action on powerslam.tv, the biggest indie pro wrestling channel in the world. Get over 6,000 hours of the best events from over 150 of your favorite promotions from 20 different countries around the globe. Brands like Progress Wrestling, Evolve Wrestling, Combat Zone, Defy, PCW Ultra, PWX, Over the Top, Shine, and hundreds of others with fresh content added every day for only $5.99 per month. Get your free trial today at powerslam.tv.
Go to powerslam.tv, promo code CHAIRSHOT. Get your free month. Again, that's powerslam.tv, promo code CHAIRSHOT.
TheChairShot.com. Always use your head.
And then we go into the ring, where we have JR talking about Vader, and this of course brings out Vader as well as Jim Cornette. Mm-hmm. Cornette does all the talking here about how Vader is the rightful heir to the WWE throne. He should be the one facing Shawn Michaels at the next pay-per-view, and it's all very much what we've come to expect with Jim Cornette and his lobbying for Vader. Of course, JR then kind of brings up the surprise is that, Vader's going to have to get through Psycho Sid in order to, have his number one contenders match. Or in order to get his shot at the title, rather.
And Vader doesn't seem particularly bothered. It's Jim Cornette that seems super, super pissed off about this.
Yes.
After we get a typical Jim Cornette promo, he's absolutely gold on the mark. Goes on to the classic WWF trope of the irresistible force and the immovable object. But there was one little tidbit of information in there that we get a little bit of a teaser for later on in the show. Jim telling stories out of school, saying that essentially thanking Jim Ross for helping him with some particular business. We don't really get any more information than that, and JR kind of essentially tells him, shut the fuck up, keep that on keep it under your hat. It's a promo to push for the match that we're going to see at Buried Alive.
Indeed. Yeah. Ori, what did you make of this this potential bombshell here of Vader and Psycho Sid? Because it seems to be a big time matchup.
Yeah, I don't know. Listen, Jim Cornette is very good at what he does. Like, I'm not, despite my personal feelings about the personage of Jim Cornette, the character
personage.
Yes. Like him as a person and a historian of wrestling. I respect, I'll say it. I respect Jim Cornette. I do. I absolutely do.
Okay.
But there are things that Jim Cornette has said and done that, you know, we've all talked about, you know, off the air, behind the scenes, about different wrestlers who have, and we've seen on Dark Side of the Ring, those that have, where kayfabe and reality have blurred the line. Mm-hmm. And sometimes I have a very difficult time taking Jim Cornette seriously because I don't know what's kayfabe and what's real with him. And so on a personal level, I'm not going to say I hate the man. I just don't care for him. Okay. Hate's a very strong word. And I don't like using it in reference to a person. I'll say I hate some of the things he does. I hate some of the things he says, but I don't hate Jim Cornette. I just don't care for him personally. But
makes sense.
As a manager and a mouthpiece for a wrestler, I respect him. He's very good at what he does. He calls out the fact that Vader has beat Shawn Michaels multiple times, just not when the title's been on the line. And he makes excellent points. He's a very good, you know, he's one of the best mouthpieces of that generation, period. One of the best managers of that period, And so, you know, while I don't care for Jim Cornette and I enjoy Jose Lothario smacking the snot out of him, as a character, it was a good promo. It really was. And I can't fault him for that. But I'm not super interested in seeing Vader versus Shawn again. That's just me.
But Vader versus Psycho Sid is
right. No, that I'm fairly interested in seeing. But I'm saying he's trying to build it towards we want Shawn. And yeah. I'm not into it at this point. You know, I don't really care to see Shawn versus Vader again. You know, it's I'm kind of out of it now. Sid versus, especially with what we got at the end of the show, which we'll talk about later, I am somewhat interested in seeing Vader versus Psycho Sid because it's big men slapping meat, big meaty men slapping meat, and sometimes that's just fun, you know, and sometimes it can be interesting, and I'm a little interested.
Okay, good deal. I'm glad to hear that you're interested in these big men slapping
big
meat.
Big men slapping meat. Why does it sound so much dirtier when you say it?
I mean, that's because that's what it's supposed to be, I think.
Oh, okay.
I think that's I think that was Big E's intention all along. Is for it to sound slightly dirty. We then get the Sultan appearing once again to take on Aldo Montoya.
Candlelight, the guns, and the Rockers match. The match meant nothing. This was all about what happened on the commentary booth. And Bob Backlund, he may be the most crazy human being that has been in the company. He first of all refused to sit down for a while. He slated the fans, calling them plebeians. He totally blanked Jim Ross and Kevin Keller, and would only speak when he was asked by Jerry Lawler. Put on some sunglasses. For some reason, they said he was made to wear the sunglasses. So
no, he said he can't hear without his glasses, which, like, it kind of popped me and made me laugh, because if you've ever been in the car trying to go somewhere you've never been before, like especially in the early days without GPS, and you would actually turn the radio down so that you could pay attention to where you're going better. Mm-hmm. I still do this on occasion. I don't know why, but like for some reason you can't hear without. Sorry, my cat just.
Ori's just smashing her setup.
She was so angry about Bob Backlund and his glasses.
The glasses were stupid. It was like they look like regular. Like square glasses with no lenses, but they had that flip up sunglasses thing on them. Mm-hmm. They looked absolutely ridiculous, especially when they shot to him and he had them on and it just looked like sunglasses. And then he flips them up and he's looking dead on at the camera, like with crazy eyes. But yeah, mm-hmm. my cat was in the window and she knocked something over.
He does mention about being forced to wear the glasses though, because he then can't stare at the plebeians and tell them that they're not allowed to do drugs. Which is
insulting to all of us who do. No, I'm just kidding.
And it does actually lead to
my dad.
It does actually lead to one of the points in the show that actually made me genuinely laugh. Kevin Keller is trying to get Bob Backlund to engage in conversation. He's totally blanking him, and then he says to King, "Well, you asked him to talk," and King says, "Yeah, and I apologize," which I thought was brilliant. But yeah, nothing match. Aldo Montoya, the whipping boy, and Rikishi, I mean, the Sultan, gets another victory.
Mm. Any thoughts on the Sultan here before we quickly move along from this match?
Not a one.
All right.
Not a one.
I actually watched it with Mrs. Mags, and she couldn't even see that it was Rikishi.
I will say there was one point where he's facing hard cam and he goes to lift his hands up and mm-hmm. like I kind of squinted just a little bit and I was like, sure as hell is Rikishi. Like mm-hmm. I could see it in the eyes at that point. It's almost like, you know, I think it was in one of the Dark Knight movies where somebody took a picture of Bruce Wayne or Harvey Dent and like covered the bottom half over the nose and mouth and went, maybe he's Batman. It was kind of one of those things, but yeah, I could tell much more once it, you know, you were dead straight on and looking at him like, yeah, that's Rikishi. I know that face.
Mm-hmm. Yes, Rikishi, who we will get to know even better here later on. Main event time is Goldust taking on Psycho
Sir,
Sid.
You have missed two more points.
All right, go ahead. Okay. Go ahead.
So we had the second of the Graveyard promos with Mankind, which I thought was the better of the promos. Mankind falling into the grave and saying that he was kind of like making out he wasn't as into the match as he has been. He didn't want to die. He didn't want this to be his last breath. He wanted to have a nice day. He didn't want the maggots to eat his rotten corpse. Obviously, then Paul Bearer was trying to placate him, saying, "No, you won't. You're going to survive. It's all going to be fine, Mankind." Mm-hmm. And then we get the slam of the week by PlayStation, which is perfect, doing perfect plexus from years and years ago. So how is that a slam of the week when it happened almost half a decade previously?
Hey, I mean, you've got a good point. You've got a good point. So yeah, there you go. Mags gave you a commercial and Mankind in a graveyard.
Well there done, Mags. Well done.
That is the most mocking clap of all time.
I'm sorry. I do love you, and I'm glad that you shared with us these salient points of Mankind in the graveyard, because that is important.
You're welcome, Tanner.
Oh, goodness. So we move on. Main event time. It's Goldust taking on Psycho Sid. Very short main event, only about 3.5 minutes long here. Goldust got in some pretty good offense that Psycho Sid did absorb quite a bit, I guess proving his toughness. And, eventually, he just, you know, he just comes away with a massive victory. I mean, I shouldn't say massive because it's Goldust, right? Like Goldust has he's in the upper echelon of stars, but he's not like Shawn. He's not like Bret. He's not like the Undertaker. It's a solid victory here for Sid, picking up the win against Goldust in very quick fashion.
Yeah, absolutely. There's a point where Goldust is on, he's above Sid in the corner, and he's doing his homoerotic stuff, and Sid quickly gets out of dodge. There's a spot where Sid goes for a chokeslam, then decides to go for a powerbomb instead, and then Goldust gets away. We do actually get Shawn Michaels on the phone, which is fun. Basically agreeing with everything that the commentary said, that he's not the smartest person in the company, taking on match after match after match, even though he claims he's very, very tired. They promote his match with Stone Cold coming up, and they're saying who would he favour out of Sid and out of Vader. So we get that, and then we get the finish with the choke slam and powerbomb. But the best part is at the end when Vader comes in and attacks.
Yes, Vader comes in and attacks, and essentially what happens is that Vader gives him the good old Vader bomb, it seems. He tries to basically, I think he splashes Psycho Sid. He jumps off the top rope or second rope, one of the two, and splashes Sid, which Sid has to remember to take his arms and then put them by his side to take the brunt of Vader jumping off. But Sid no sells it. And then he turns around and choke slams Vader right dead square in the middle of the ring before Vader kind of no-sells it himself and runs out of the ring. So we will have this clash of titans here between Psycho Sid and Vader that I'm actually pretty excited about. There's no man, and we talked about this before the show, there's no man that's more over than Psycho Sid right now. And with Vader kind of being the top bad guy, it's going to be a very interesting clash.
Yeah, it's going to be something.
I mean, Ori's not as hyped for it as I am, but I'm definitely hyped for it. I think this Sid is one of the easiest characters to get invested in. He's huge. He looks like he's carved out of granite. The fans absolutely adore him. He doesn't overstay his welcome in terms of a match length. He takes essentially the Goldberg route. Get in, kick ass, get out. I'm hyped for this match. I think Vader's had a bad rub with the politicking with Shawn Michaels. I think in another lifetime he could have been a very credible WWF champion and should have really probably won the match at SummerSlam. But I'm excited for this match. I think on their day these two can certainly deliver a good match.
Yeah, I would agree. And then, of course, we've got Austin and Shawn Michaels coming up here very soon as well. That one seems pretty exciting, too.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Well, good deal. Well, I'm glad that we got to make it through this finally.
Yes.
Ori, anything of note here as we end this episode of Raw?
Not really. I mean...
You seem rather deflated about this whole episode.
It was not great. I mean, not that that's a huge surprise, but I mean, I think my biggest issue, like, I'm fine with Sid no selling the splash. Mm-hmm. I'm fine with that. You want to show that he's big monster contender, but then Vader no selling the choke slam practically at all, and then he gets up and just walks out. Like, I get that you want to make him a monster too, but like, I don't know, make it make sense. Cause the mental gymnastics that I'm having to create in my own head to make that portion of the segment work to the betterment of the match and the excitement for the match. It's it's exhausting. Like, I just can't. And don't get me wrong, as a fan, I'm excited to see Shawn Michaels versus Stone Cold, but there's been very little talk and almost no build up to it. And so it's like, well, yeah, who wouldn't want to see Stone Cold versus Shawn Michaels? But at the same time, it's like, but why should I care? Other than the fact that it's the King of the Ring versus your heavyweight champion. You know, I don't, again, more mental gymnastics that I am not, there's not enough coffee or Dr. Pepper for me to deal with right now. Like, I just can't. I want to, but I can't.
I mean, fair play. You know, I mean, it's.
No, I don't. You can't make me. You're not my dad. I don't know.
I mean, fair enough. I mean, and you know what? 1996 Raw, and I was thinking about this myself. I'm so ready for 1997 Raw at this point, because this is just it. Again, no issues with, I guess, the effort being put in here, and of course we got to thank everybody who's been, you know, watching with us as we've gone through this era. I mean, without you guys watching along with us, I mean, there would be no reason to have a show. But, I mean, to be quite frank, it's difficult sit through 1996 Raw, and it really doesn't, like, start heating up in that real attitude kind of way until 1997.
Somebody had to make us start in 96 King of the Ring.
I was waiting for this. I was waiting for this shot. The good thing is that we are going through this dire period, and it'll make us appreciate 1997 all that more.
And that's what I'm hoping for, honestly. Like, because right now, like, I cannot. Like, that's what I'm hoping for, is that we get to a point where I'm like, okay, I'm in, I'm enjoying this. And like we've said for a couple, or like I've said for a couple of different weeks, like, maybe when it's live, I'll enjoy it more. Maybe when we're not, you know, because I know that that's going to have some to do with it, you know, that once we get, because it's a lot easier for us watching at home to be excited when the crowd who's watching it live is excited about it.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, just think about the last 18, 20 months that we've had with the pandemic and having shows with in the Thunderdome with, you know, piped in crowds or people on screens, and or with AEW having just wrestlers around the barricade to create some type of hype. Like, yeah, they're also wrestling fans and they're going to be hyped about it, but it's completely different when you have actual fans who are not in on the business. And so I think that's going to make a huge difference, but I'm very much over this and ready to move past it.
Oh, good. Well, with that being said, I couldn't think of a better time to end the show. Alrighty. Tell you what, everybody. Thank you, of course, for listening, as always. I'm really glad that we had a chance to take this journey through Raw, October 7th, 1996.
You don't sound glad.
Hey, you know? I'm never glad when we have to end a change in attitude, because it's always going to take another week before we have to make another one. But, oh, you know,
that's so sweet.
I know, right?
I mean, we don't have to.
And you thought I was just gonna be a dick. Goodness. To my much beloved partners here, you know, because without Mags and without Ori, I mean, I'd probably be a shambles trying to host a show like this. Mags, where can people find more of you and your content?
So you can find me on the Twitters at PodfatherMags. And again, I want to kind of rubber stamp that what Tanner and Ori are saying. Yes, we're going through a very low period in WWF, but we are going to get to some very exciting stuff in the near future. And also, keep an eye out on the A Change of Attitude Twitter handle, because we will be doing some interesting stuff in the near future, perhaps something around Survivor Series 1996 time. So, yeah, keep your ear to the ground and you will hear about that in due course. But, yeah, follow me on Twitter at PodfatherMex.
Very cool. Very cool. And, Ori, where can people find more of you and your content?
Well, you can find me at Ori the Draw on Twitter, Twitch, Instagram, TikTok. Follow me all of those places. And if you are not, if you have not liked and subscribed the Radio Techers channel, please go and do that. Because if it has not already come out by the time this episode is dropped, there will be a very special interview on the Radio Techers channel. Featuring myself with one Mr. Kevin Kelly.
Oh, well, that's very cool.
It will also be available via audio here on Chairshot Radio Network. It'll be a special episode of A Change in Attitude.
That's fantastic. That's fantastic news, Ori. And congratulations on getting to interview Mr. Kevin Kelly himself. Yeah,
the draw. I couldn't have done it without you guys. I really couldn't have.
We are the crutches that are holding you back. We're the millstones around your neck.
I don't know about all that.
I'll accept your thanks, Ori. You're welcome.
you're the crust that helps hold my bread together. I don't even know if that made sense, but okay.
Oh, well, that's awesome. That gives everybody something to look forward to. Ori interviewing Kevin Kelly exclusively here. Well, I guess not exclusively. I guess it would be on both Radio Techers and the Chairshot Network, which is awesome. You know, so that's really good stuff. Really good stuff. So
where can we find you, Tanner?
You can find me. I'm about to go to Raising Cane's to pick up some food here for lunch. Some chicken strips. So that's where you can find me in the very near future.
Sweet tea or lemonade?
Both. I do a half and half.
Ooh, so a little Arnold Palmer action.
Arnold Palmer, yeah.
Which is hard for me to say for some reason.
Like the golfer, Arnold
Palmer. Yes, that's named after him.
Yes.
What, tea and lemonade?
Yeah, half tea, half lemonade. It's considered an Arnold Palmer.
Okay.
I don't know why I have trouble saying that.
So yeah, Arnold? you put in a lot of emphasis on the L.
Yeah.
The Palmer.
And the R.
And the R.
And the R.
She went full pirate. Never go full pirate.
You can find me at Raising Cane's. That's gonna be the place where you can find me very soon.
Oh, where can we find you on the social medias? Let's be specific.
Oh, okay. You can find me on Twitter at TexasGentleman_. That's my personal account where you can check out my content there. A lot of my content, actually the vast majority of my content, is actually on Radio Techers, which is RadioTekkers, where you can follow the channel there on Twitter. We produce content for both YouTube and Twitch, whether it be proper football, where Mags and I and our good friend, the magnificent Matt Willis, as well as others cover both the English Premier League as well as the UEFA Champions League for football. It's a lot of good stuff. But of course, yeah, just as always, we've got Mags covering MMA with Five Rounds. He's also doing chain wrestling with our good friend Sai, who is amazing. Sai's actually brought SJP Words wrestling podcast, and I was on that just this last week covering Money in the Bank 2011. That was a lot of fun. There's just a lot of great creators. And then Ori and Ray are now part of Radio Techers as well. They're going to be bringing you some more wrestling content as well. So Radio Techers is really kind of growing and making some real strides here, great progress.
It's very exciting.
Yeah, indeed. And if you're not really interested in all of that, if you want more wrestling content in addition, I did put out my final episode of Headlock Talk, a wrestling podcast, earlier this week as well. You can check that out, where Mags, myself, Mr. Warren Hayes, and Conrad from the Everything Pro Wrestling Show reviewed All In, the proto AEW show, and gave it a good review. It's good. There's some good stuff about it. Some real good things that happened that show.
And some not so good.
And some not so good things. You know, so yeah. Fun times, great memories as always, here on Change in Attitude, where you can always catch us here doing the thing, having fun. Awesome. Anyway, let's get out of here. Y'all take care. Enjoy the rest of your day. And don't forget to always use your head.
Kablam!
What the?
TheChairShot.com. Always use your head.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.